Hey there, radio fans. This is Carl Castaneda, the podcast pirate, and you're coming back to another episode of Radio Free Nintendo. I know I'm hosting these things like crazy now. Isn't it nuts, Evan?
Yeah, nuts is the word I would use for it, Carl Castaneda. Okay.
We're not going to argue about that again.
Hold on a second, Carl. You were telling me earlier today, you said, I asked you, how do you pronounce your name? And you said, what, do you want the real pronunciation or the fake pronunciation? And I said,
well, let me explain that to the listeners first, because there's the real way to pronounce it, which is the way that you do it with the accent, and then there's the way that I let people pronounce it because it's just easier for me.
Okay. And that's dumb, because that means that your name is broken. If it has a fake pronunciation that is better for everybody who has to say it, it's broken. You need to get a new name or get out, okay?
I actually used to go by a pseudonym that's very easy to pronounce.
What was your pseudonym?
Eric Williams. Anyway, so into tonight's topics. So topic number one tonight is a little thing about the PlayStation 3. Now today, the day that we're recording this is October 10th, which is the day that PS3 pre-orders go on sale. It's also the day that PS3 pre-orders stop, because of course, it sold out in the first, 30 seconds?
Did they all go to EB Game Staffers? Is that the rumor?
Pretty much. I think that's pretty much what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
Unless you have connections, that's with a Z at the end, you've got nothing. You're not getting a PS3.
Yeah.
Or you're exceedingly wealthy and you're gonna buy one from a scalper.
Those who are successful in getting pre-orders, though, have been taking their pre-order slips, their receipts, and selling them on eBay with the assumption that the person who's buying it is hoping that you will be trustworthy enough to, once you win, actually stand in line, get that PS3, and ship it over to that person. They're going to go up for, we're talking $1,000 minimum.
Yeah, because we all know trusting somebody on the internet is a great idea.
Absolutely. I don't think eBay has any way to police that. To tell you the truth, I think it's bizarre that they're allowing the promise of a PS3 to be sold online.
Well, hey, they allowed Xbox 360 boxes to be sold, so I don't think they're going to really have a problem with it.
Boxes?
Yeah, you remember that? People put 360 boxes on sale. People thought it was a real 360, paid hundreds and hundreds of dollars for it, only to get a box.
And they let it go?
Yeah.
I don't remember that. That sucks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But this directly ties in with Nintendo, because there are rumors that next week you'll be able to pre-order your Wii. Now, we're going to be hitting 1 million at North American launch, which is the largest sum that any one region is going to get. I think Japan's probably going to get about 750,000, and the rest is going to be split up between the other other regions like Australia, Europe, and so on.
Mm-hmm. South America is getting it at launch as well.
Of course. And but there's this rumor going around that there may be up to, 9 million Wiis that Nintendo can manufacture by the year's end. Not necessarily that they're going to, but they have the ability. I think that came out from an analyst, yeah.
Yeah, who said that, they have the potentiality, they have the capability to manufacture up to 9, I think you might have said 8, but it could have been 9 million Wiis by the end of the year, which, let me just say, they're not going to do that, because they want it to be the hottest toy, they want it to be desirable, you have to do a little bit of work to get it, but they don't want it to be vapor like the PS3, they don't want it to be absolutely impossible to get. We're talking about 1 million in North America. That is the maximum amount of systems available at a launch ever for a video game system.
Yeah, it's pretty much unprecedented. Of course, the Wii is also a pretty special console in its own right, and so it's not really that big of a surprise.
Yeah, I think that the fact that Nintendo's trying to put it out there, they've got it on 2 hot toys lists so far this year, and I think it's going to be on more. They've gotten coverage on broadcast news. I think that eventually we're going to see this be the hot thing, one of those cultural phenomenons. Tickle Me Elmo, maybe not as big as that, but it could get to the point where Wii is considered as desirable as that. Hopefully not as elusive as
Daniel. I just hope it's not as the sales aren't as dismal as No Means No Elmo.
You need to keep your dirty jokes to yourself from this point on.
But yeah, so I'm just saying 7 to 9 million, it'd be nice just for the fact that you wouldn't really have to worry about pre-orders, but it's probably not going to happen just because there would be so much overflow.
Yeah, and they have to store those in warehouses. We're talking about a lot of money just to store those things. It's not something that any that Nintendo or any retail outlet is going to want to do. They're going to want to get those on the shelves, and they only have so much shelf space. And if they sell like hotcakes, then maybe Nintendo will be able to up the manufacturing right in the middle of November, or right after launch, 2 weeks, 3 weeks after launch, if they know it's going to be hot.
Speaking of wasted efforts, we were taking a look today at the Ubisoft Racers for the Wii, which is Monster 4x4 and GT Pro. Not to say that those games are going to be bad, but they've got this accessory with them that you can see if you go to gamevideos.com and check out these new videos that they've got. And they use this third-party accessory for the Wii controller, where it's basically a steering wheel shell that you pop your Wiimote into.
Yeah, I watched both of them all the way through. First off, the GT Pro video looked to me, to my eyes, the environments, not the car, but the environments looked like an N64 game with solid frame rate, with a very good frame rate, actually. It looked really actually pretty pathetic.
Yeah, it looked pretty bad.
And then the cars look very detailed, but then the most important thing is in both games, the Wii accessory, the remote, the steering wheel accessory, looks absolutely ridiculous. We all know that if you've ever seen a video of them playing Excite Truck at E3, the Wii controller, imagine it held in your hand like an NES pad, you move your hands kind of in a teeter-totter motion. You don't move it side to side like a steering wheel at all. People assume that, but as soon as you got over to the Excite Truck booth, you would see a little sign that showed you the exact motion you need to make. These videos on gamevideos.com, it shows them doing the exact same thing. The steering wheel pretty much just means that you've got some extra grip to hold your Wii remote. Maybe gamers will find that to be efficient, but it looked dumb.
It did not look intuitive at all.
No, it didn't. And it looked like some people had trouble figuring it out because they were like, well, it's a steering wheel. Maybe I've got to use it like a steering wheel. And that's not the case at all. And you know, someone in our forums had mentioned that when you're driving, you do hand over hand. That's a major portion of driving. And for a free-floating, no-resistance steering wheel, you're just going to be holding it in your two hands and kind of rocking it back and forth. It doesn't emulate anything, so I'm calling BS on that attachment. They're including it free for a reason. It doesn't add anything.
It actually looks a lot like that mock-up that was on IGN shortly after the Wii Remote was revealed back in over a year ago, actually, when they were showing
their, it was in September,
their mock-ups for the Zapper and the wheel control.
Yeah.
And it looks exactly the same, but in black.
Yeah, and maybe that's where Ubisoft got the idea. I don't know. But it doesn't work. It doesn't look like it's going to work. Now, when you actually play it, maybe it works better. We don't know. There was, obviously, this person who on Game Videos was playing it. We need to find out who was playing it, at what event, and what they liked about it, and if it is actually a good thing. So
absolutely.
We'll see.
Now, we're going to be taking a short break so that we can hear Evan's interview with Daniel Bloodworth, who went over to Activision this week to play some of their Wii games. So we'll let you guys enjoy that, and we will be right back.
Hello, this is Evan Birchfield, and in case you weren't listening, I'm joined right now with Daniel Bloodworth, who recently got to go to Activision's headquarters and play their three upcoming Wii games. Those include Tony Hawk's Downhill Jam, Marvel Ultimate Alliance, and Call of Duty 3. So, Blood, I want to ask you, which of those games would you say was the best?
Oh, out of those, definitely Tony Hawk's Downhill Jam. I mean, I actually, overall, I was amazed by how much I liked everything. I think maybe just because the titles are familiar to me and they're all basically sequels in a way, I wasn't going in there anticipating any of them or thinking that I would buy any of them. And I really walked out of there feeling like I could buy all three of these games right now. Tony Hawk's Downhill Jam, though, that just took me... I didn't even get to play the DS game very much because I just got so sucked into the Wii version, and I've basically decided to buy that instead of Excite Truck now.
Really? And you got to play Excite Truck at E3, didn't you?
Yeah. And it has a very similar control scheme in that, you know, you're balancing left and right as you would balance on a skateboard to steer and to keep your balance when you're grinding on the lines. But it just seems to have so much more depth to it as far as the course designs. You know, there's all these alternate paths that you can take, and it has a four-player mode where Excite Truck is only two players, and it also has a lot of alternate racing modes.
Really? Well, you know, I guess it does sound a little interesting. The problem is I think that Excite Truck would probably be a little bit more easier to grasp, like, for a person like me. A skateboarding game, I've been trying to get really into the Tony Hawk's and when Pro Skater was their thing, and some of the more recent things. I just can't get into a skateboarding game as much as I can a racing game. So
yeah, well, I think that's where Downhill Jam really departs, though, and Tony Hawk fans, Mark Bozon from IGN, who was there, you know, he prefers the DS game over the Wii game because the DS game is using the same kind of control style as the previous DS game, and you've got all of those complicated tricks and everything. You've got that full set of trick maneuvers, and I've never been able to get into all those crazy tricks, and so for me, what you're saying is exactly the same thing. It's like, I can just go through and I can race and maybe trick once in a while if I want to, and if I don't want to, I don't have to. And just, you know, bounce around from one line to the next, grinding, you know, and and just race.
Yeah.
And so Tony Hawk fans may have to, you know, get over that jump of this isn't, quote unquote, a real Tony Hawk game. But I think a lot of other people that have found that to be too complicated or too intimidating in multiplayer will probably like this anyways.
The other question I've got for you is, Marvel Ultimate Alliance, you're really considering buying this game?
Oh yeah. I really like the X-Men Legends systems a lot. And I feel that with the Wii controller, Marvel Ultimate Alliance is even easier and more natural and instinctive, as far as, you know, when you want to hit a guy up, well, you just flick up, and if you want to punch a guy forward, you punch forward with the controller, and it doesn't take that much getting used to, and it's easier to remember than all these AAB, AB, AA, and all this other stuff that you had to do before to do the exact same moves. And they had some other new things they added in there. I mentioned the sword stealing thing that they added with this creature. It was just cool. I mean, you know, it's almost like a Prince of Persia or something kind of thing, where you push the grab button at the right time, and your character climbs onto this guy's back, snatches the sword out of his head, stabs him through the head, and then you got the sword, and it takes out enemies in just a couple shots. If you played the X-Men Legends games, you know what to expect. You've got that beat 'em up element, and then you've got all of your stat boosting and special powers and character management, just like you have in X-Men Legends or in Knights of the Old Republic on Xbox.
So what can you tell me about Call of Duty?
Pretty much a sequel, the same level of quality from the past Call of Duty games you can expect. It unfortunately doesn't have any kind of multiplayer mode, which is a big thing that they had a separate session for on the Xbox 360. Other than that, it has the same kind of first-person shooter controls that Metroid and Red Steel have, but it's a little bit more advanced than when we played those games at E3, so you can actually jump into the options, and it's got these nice gradual sensitivity bars so that you can, you know, fiddle around with them and figure out what you like the best. And the horizontal sensitivity and the vertical sensitivity are actually separate, so if you'd rather, you know, whip around side to side really fast, but you don't want it moving up and down a lot, you can set it to do that.
Okay. Well, that's good that they're offering that flexibility. Certainly that's something that we're going to need depending on how far away you're sitting from the sensor bar. And I live in a small place, and let me tell you, I'm a little worried about when I start playing Wii if I'm going to need to, I don't know, clean my room so I can put my chair farther back.
Yeah, we weren't sitting that far back, and I was controlling it okay when I sat down and I had those settings set the way I wanted them to. We were probably, you know, only like a foot and a half or so from the TV.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And it felt fine?
It felt fine. I mean, I think anything that uses a pointing device, you know, at first when you start using the Wii, it's going to take adjustment. You know, a good, you know, 5 or 10 or 15 minutes, depending on how quickly you pick it up, you know, to get that accuracy down and learn how to keep your hand steady. The other thing I had a hard time grasping with Call of Duty was the grenade throwing. I kept blowing myself up, and it's just, I know it's just a matter of making, you know, the right kind of stroke, but what you do to throw a grenade is you would push the either the left or the right button on the cross pad, and then you actually make a throwing motion with the nunchuck. And I don't know if I was doing it too quick or too short or what, but I would keep... I basically ended up just shaking the nunchuck until I died. Eventually, I got it down.
Nunchuck control is one of those things that you really have to wonder, because it felt like at E3 on a lot of those games, you know, we're talking months ago, but a lot of those games that required nunchuck control, you would have to do it once, twice, three times before the game really responded to what you had to say. So do you think that was the same situation here?
Yeah, I think it may have been, but I didn't have as many issues with the nunchuck overall as I did at E3. So I think it's either improved or they've learned to interface with it a little better.
Okay.
The other thing that both Call of Duty 3 and Marvel Ultimate Alliance had were these kind of quick timer event or Resident Evil 4 style like mini games that pop up. It's kind of like an interactive cinema experience. So in Call of Duty 3, what happens is this guy attacks you with a knife, and then you've got to turn the controllers sideways and, you know, basically punch back and forth with the two controllers in order to wrestle this guy off of you. And then the icon switches, and then you've got to, like, put one controller on top of the other and, like, pull downward to your side, which I didn't really understand what that was supposed to represent. So you're following these things, and if you don't do it quickly enough, then you just get knifed, and it's like the Resident Evil You Are Dead kind of thing, and you start over from your checkpoint.
Well, it sounds really fascinating. It sounds like the gameplay that they've got, that they're attempting to do, and Activision being a third party of varying quality. Sometimes some really good games are either published or even developed internally, but then other times the quality is not quite so high. It sounds like they're really taking some steps. Now, the question is something a little bit more superficial. Graphically, the screenshots for some of these games don't look that good, especially because these are games that are available on other consoles, and they are looking very next-gen on the other consoles.
Right.
Were you impressed with the graphics, or did you find that they were lackluster?
I thought that Call of Duty 3 and Marvel Ultimate Alliance were not noticeably better than GameCube. I think when you first look at them, you feel as if you're looking at a GameCube game. Now, when you get to spending a little time with it and paying attention to everything that's going on, you start to realize that, yeah, this actually is better. This is more detailed. But it takes that kind of critical thought. It doesn't jump out at you. Tony Hawk, though, I thought, especially out of those three, looked really good. And it was definitely a notch up above GameCube, and probably, you know, equal to some of the stuff that's on 360, even if it's not the best stuff. The note about that is Tony Hawk is being developed just for Wii, and those other two games are multi-platform games. PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 are getting Tony Hawk's Project 8, which is a totally different game and looks amazing in its own right, but it's more of a traditional Tony Hawk style game.
Well, that's about all the questions I have for you today, Blood. Thank you very much for joining us, and thank you for listening, guys. Now back to Call.
And we're back for more Radio Free Nintendo. Now, first up, that I want to discuss after our commercial break and interview with Dan was to discuss our recently updated Naruto contest.
Absolutely. The Naruto contest, I'll tell you the truth, guys, we didn't get a lot of entries. We got some good ones, but we didn't get three winners. So we were thinking, you know, there's got to be something wrong with the way we're running the rules. And truth be told, we decided that there was too much of an entry barrier. So our staff genius, Johnny, decided that it might be good if we just had you guys write us a script. Write it out for us, exactly what you want us to say in a minute to 2 minute spot that we will put up here on Radio Free Nintendo. You can include any of the staffers. That's Mike, Stan, Carl, or me. You can give us dialogue, and you can do all four of us. You can do just one of us if you want. And we'll say whatever you want. And the best entries we will perform right here on air. It has mentioned Naruto once. So as long as you do that, then you have a chance to win some awesome Naruto prizes, as well as some crappy games from my apartment that I've thrown in just for good measure. Those include Tomb Raider, The Last Revelation for Dreamcast, Battles of Prince of Persia for the Nintendo DS, Mega Man X Command Mission for the GameCube, and, actually not a crappy game, Seaman for Dreamcast.
A couple of those are worth their weight.
Yeah, I think Seaman is actually really, really cool, and it's got the mic included, so I'm willing to part with these things. That's going to be in the grand prize. Also, everybody who wins, all three winners, are going to get a t-shirt, a PGC t-shirt, as well as the E3 2002 DVD, which comes packaged with the t-shirt anyways. So I think the prize pack is pretty desirable. It already was. Some cool Naruto stuff. I want that backpack.
Guys, seriously, don't make me give up my kidneys for you guys just to get you to send in entries. Come on.
Because we can't ship his kidneys. We already discussed that, and it's not legal for us to give his kidneys out as a prize. So I know that some of you were clamoring for internal organs. I know that one of you does need a kidney transplant, and I'm sorry.
No dice.
It's not going to happen. But, you know, there are better prizes than that, I think, because Carl needs his kidneys.
Yeah, also, I guess. My kidneys are in bad shape. I drink a lot. You don't want my kidneys.
Yeah, he's a hardcore drinker, so come on. A little sympathy for the man.
Yeah. But on a humorous note, I believe we have a little exhibition on what kind of skit you can send us. Now, this is taken from... Is it taken from real life, Evan?
This is pretty much real life. I would say this is real life. It was a disaster. Pretty much, Carl and I needed somebody to join us for this podcast. As you notice, we haven't been doing two-person podcasts a lot lately, and this is an aberration for us because we wanted a third person. But we decided to ask all the staffers that we knew were online, can you please help us out? Please podcast with us. And these are the results. What do we have first, Carl?
First, we have John Lindemann, who I asked to come on, and this is what happened. Now, Evan, if you will play Lindemann, and I will play myself, of course.
Okay, I can do that. Let me get into character. Okay, I gotta get old real quick, and I gotta be gruff and bald.
You gotta age about 11 years.
Yeah. Okay. I'm Lindemann now.
All right. Hey, Lindemann, want to do a podcast?
When? Right now?
Yeah.
Nah. I'm actually still at work. Got a huge presentation tomorrow, so I'm working like a dog. Just about to go home.
Ah, all right. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no problem. I mean, I'd love to do it, but I just don't have time tonight.
Yeah, no problem. Oh, by the way, I'm on Skype right now with Evan, and we're looking for a third member. You think you want to muscle in here?
Tell Evan I said, not tonight, honey. Scene.
He actually did that. Yeah. He actually put in that
He actually,
Lindemann
yeah.
is a dirty old man.
He made an awful joke to us pure young men.
Yeesh.
He should be a mentor, and he's not. So
speaking
I'm
of no means no.
But we asked another staffer, too. We asked Pale to join the podcast, and we went to great lengths to get Pale on the podcast. And this was...
We called him in New York.
Yeah. So we've got another one. Who are you going to play this time, Carl?
How about I'll play myself?
Okay, then I'll be Pale.
Aren't you going to be yourself? Aren't you the one who called him?
Oh, darn it. Okay, I got the roles mixed up.
Whoops.
So you be you, and I'll be me.
What a stretch.
I got to get into character. Okay, I like movies. I'm kind of pretentious. I talk a lot. Got a whiny, girly voice.
Go with it.
Scene. All right. So let's ask Pale to join the podcast.
Okay.
A few minutes later.
He's not responding.
Why not?
He's probably got a hot night out with his bucket hat.
All right, well, I'm going to call him. A few minutes later. Hey, Pale. Hey, this is Evan Birchfield. Yeah, how's it going, man? Yeah, so what are you doing tonight? Well, you want to do a podcast? Yeah. Oh, well, that's fine. Okay, right. I chill. We'll get you on sometime. Later. Carl, he's actually going out with his bucket hat.
And scene.
I see that all the staffers have left us for dead. Pale's got his bucket hat. Lindy's got his job. It's like, what do we have? We have this podcast. And that's it.
I believe this takes us out for the evening. Take it easy, guys. Come back for more Radio Free Nintendo.
Later.
Thank you.
I think my exact quote is, "I don't care how you church it up, Birchfield. That's the sin in, and you know it."